I think my first thing I would like to do publicly again, and I think it's something that as speakers we need to do more of, and I say that with respect to other men and women of the cloth, that we need to show our appreciation, because Lorne and I have just been so well looked after, and everything here has been so well run, and I am going to take back, Graham, a good report to our national board, as so I should, because it's just been so wonderfully run, everything. A convention... See, I go to a lot of places, but and sometimes I'm not a tourist, as people back home know me. You know, I can go to many places, and they ask me when I get home, "What was it like?" I said, "I have no idea. I just go to the hotel room and go to the meeting and this meeting and that meeting, and I just don't see anything." But the point I do say, you know, about a place is the people, and you people make this place, and I say that with respect to New Zealand, right? In the sense of the country. So, you know, you're just wonderful, wonderful people. You love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And that's something to me, you know, I always look for. You are kingdom people. It's something I also look for, that you're here to extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. And, you know, I tell you, if you're a people of that and a people of passion, then you're also a people of power. You're the sort of people I want to hang out with. And Don said it as well, and I'm just reinforcing what he said. I know that. But I just want to personally, on behalf of Lorne and I, say thank you once again publicly to the board for allowing us the privilege, and it is a privilege, to represent the King anywhere, but to come over here and just be so well received. And because, you know, I say, with due respect to God, I don't think Graham had ever even heard me minister before he invited me. So, you know, he really took a bit of a chance, I think, you know. But I believe, and I say with also your humility, I believe he heard from God. Because I believe I came for this time with a message for the hour. And that's the secret, because we can hear a lot of messages, and I've got to be careful because it's FGB, I'm not going to preach, but I'm telling you something, you know, we need a message for now. And I'm going to endeavour, Graham, to share on marketplace ministry in the session now. I'm going to apologise in advance for those of you who are not FGB people, because the message I want to share with us today, or with FGB people, and it's primarily for them. But I believe also that the Holy Spirit will interpret that what he needs to, so that you will also get something great out of it as well. Because I sat in the worship time, I just sensed. And my mind was cast back to some time ago. I better give these out. I mean, I might not even get to give away my freebies. But I sense that today, we've had a great time in God, haven't we? You know, we've been thrilled, we've been excited, we've had laughs. Some of us have done a bit of carpet time, which is always good. Some of us have done more carpet time than others. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Right? But because you've done a lot of carpet time, you might need a little bit of light reading when you're down on the ground. But, you know, I just sense this meeting is going to be a real tangible presence of the Holy Spirit is going to fill this place. And I never said anything to anybody, Graham, when I came up the stairs the other day, but I knew as soon as I walked into the sanctuary, and it's a sanctuary, by the way, because the saints are here, it's a sanctuary, and he is here, right? I sensed that this room is going to be one where a lot of people are going to have an upper room experience. I don't say that lightly. I've done a lot of meetings in a lot of countries, and I haven't been in too many meetings where there's been an upper room experience. And I'm sensing today is going to be one of those days. We've had the other, but today is going to be a manifestation, because most of us, you know, and unfortunately the body of Christ, the wider body of Christ, and I'm careful what I'm saying because it's been taped, are chasing a lot of the manifestations today. But, you know, sadly some of those manifestations, I don't believe, are the Holy Ghost. And I don't have a problem with manifestations, provided it's the Holy Ghost. And I don't think we should chase them. We don't have to chase them. Because when the saints are here and we're in the sanctuary, I tell you what, there's a manifest presence of the glory of God. Because you have ushered in the presence of the glory of God as you walk into the place. And it's like an explosion. Boom! Goes off. Right connection. Right people, right place, right time. Things happen. And I want to say to the board, as I was in this worship time here, to the National Board specifically, you know, we are getting to that point, there's going to be an explosion. Let me tell you that. And that's one of the reasons I believe I'm here. And this is why I want to, in this session, I want to call it. I was asked yesterday what the name was of the session. I said I didn't have a clue, so I never got to my notes. But today is, now is the time. In actual fact, now it's our time. You can, either one is okay. And I want to share a bit about that, and then I want to talk about marketplace ministry. I'm going to do it today, Graham. I'm going to do it. Well, let me get rid of these first. Where's my friend, Stefan? What a wonderful job you do, Stefan. You're always running around doing some work here and there. I'll tell you, man, he's a servant. Colin, I want to give you that. Bless you, man. I love you, man. You're a great guy. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because today you are going to do something specific and special in the lives of the saints in this sanctuary, Lord. And Lord, you've laid upon my heart a message for this fellowship. And Lord God, I believe this fellowship right now in this nation of New Zealand is at a turning point. It's at a turning point. And right now, Father God, you're releasing us in the right direction, at the right place, at the right time. And Father, I believe in this house today, Lord, in this place today, people are going to sense a tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, some they've not experienced it before. It's going to be a new thing, Lord God, but it's going to revolutionize their thinking. It's going to change their life, and it's going to change the future of this nation. And I specifically prophesy and speak into being in the name of Jesus. And all the saints said,
amen.
So as I said, now is the time. I was just reflecting on this in the worship time, and why I'm so convinced that today is this is going to happen is I sensed the presence here that I preached some years ago. I was in Perth, and I was speaking to a group of young people, and a friend of mine had arranged a meeting. And it's not the sort of meeting I would do, because this was youth, and I have to be honest with you, I generally don't spend a lot of time in youth ministry, if I can use that terminology. And these were young kids, because they were 15 and 16 years of age. And if my understanding, I can't remember the name of the movement now. It was like a youth movement within the Catholic Charismatics Renewal. And I went to this school, they were having it, and these kids were sitting around, you know, cross-legged on the floor. Well, that put me out of ease straight away, because I can't even do that, right? But anyhow, they were doing that, so I asked them for a chair. They knew I was older than them once I asked for the chair. And I remember being in this meeting. I said, God, what am I doing here? What am I going to tell these kids? And I don't want to be disrespectful, but I felt these children, these kids, I call them kids because they're so young, or young adults, this terminology. I thought, most of them don't even know about Jesus. I'm a raving, ranting Pentecostal back in those days. I've toned down a bit now. Well, I'd like to think so. And then thank you. But then, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started to speak to me and said, you don't have to do too much at all because I'm here. I thought, wow, yeah, I mean, that wasn't a revelation. I knew he was there. I knew he was walking and talking with me. I knew he was in the place, like he's here. And as I'm sitting in the meeting and I'm listening to these kids praying, I shouldn't call them kids, but I'm just so used to that. I'm listening to them praying these prayers, and all of a sudden I said, man, they've got a heart. They got a heart for Jesus. They were reaching out and they were praying for kids, you know, that. And just that week, one of their group had committed suicide, and you could hear the in their heart, you know, you could hear the cries. Some of them were in anguish, they were in despair. Others were crying out to God, why? And I thought, man, this is even getting harder now. I don't deal with that sort of thing normally. And all of a sudden, I heard this almighty crash. And I looked to my right, and I can still see it now, it was 20 years ago. This lady, one of the carers, had fallen off a chair under the power of the Holy Spirit and had taken a whole row of chairs out. Now, she wasn't probably even born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, nothing like that, I don't think, at that point. But she just goes out under the power. And these kids all look at me. I said, don't look at me, I didn't do anything. But I'm the stranger, you see, so you always look at the stranger and say, it's their fault, isn't it, you know. I said, God, you know, you're going to do something here. And I said, the Lord, what do I say? You heard this one yesterday. Tell your story. So I told my story and how I was a kid that got off the rails. And these kids started to, you know, weep and this and that. Thought, okay, Lord, yeah, I've got all that. And then the Lord said something to me that actually rocked me. I don't often get rocked by the Holy Spirit. He says, tell them that Jesus is in the house. Now, I want to tell you something right now. And I'm very careful for what I'm about to say. Because as we know, for those of us who share on this platform, whatever we say, we stand before God accountable for. So I'm very careful what I'm about to say. But this is what I said to these kids. You are going to feel Jesus walking, because they were sitting all cross-legged on the floor, you know, and, you know, like all around. And some of you in this room are going to feel the swish of the garment against your body as Jesus moves between you. There are others of you that are going to smell a fragrance, which is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. There are others amongst you that you are going to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit. Guys, these are not Pentecostal kids. These are kids that are mainly been brought up in probably good Christian homes, or I could say, or, you know, inverted commas, religious homes. I don't know whatever that was. But, you know, they had never had any of these type of experiences. We are not talking to Pentecostals here. You know what? These kids believe me. You know why I know that? Because 2 minutes after I prayed, this kid says, Jesus just walked past me. I just feel the hair from the back of my neck. What few I've got left going up right now. He said, I just felt it. And another kid said, I can smell something. What's that smell? And then another kid says, I can feel the wind blowing across my face. What's going on here? I tell you what, as the young ones call it, at that point, I thought, this is getting spooky. Even for a Pentecostal, a raving one. Because I myself had not experienced some of those things at that point in my walk. I'd sensed the wind of the Holy Spirit. I've been in meetings. I've smelled it. But as far as Jesus walking past me in the swish of the garment, a tangible presence, no, I had not experienced that. Now that night, I want to tell you something. We had some amazing things happen ministry-wise. I don't want to talk about that. But those kids, a lot of those kids that were into drugs and stuff or whatever, man, you know, we had kids that were getting prayed for. One kid ran out. He was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He ran out of that room, and I followed him out the room. The Lord said, go and pray for him. And I prayed for him outside the door. Man, and he got hit like a Mack truck, and he bounced 6 feet off the concrete when he hit it. I was so worried. He was cracked his skull. And his father, who had come to pick him up, ran over and said, what's happened to him? I said, I haven't got a clue. He said, well, you should know. You're the guy. You're irresponsible. You know, but God did some stuff. And I believe, well, I'm sharing that story today in this sanctuary. If I can, is that okay to use that? Because this is what it is. Well, maybe an institute or whatever it is. But God is going to do something supernatural to people in this place. That's my introduction. I want to try and get onto this message. Following up on that, now is our time. I want to say, Graham, as I said, turning point, I've sensed in the spiritual realm there has already been a shift, a paradigm shift for this fellowship. And I want to read a scripture, and you all know it. But I want you to put on your spiritual ears and eyes today. I want you to get a revelation of this. This will blow your mind. I tell you, this will blow your mind. So 1 Samuel, chapter 30. Now, I don't want to read it all because we all know the story, number one, and second, we don't have time because I want to watch my time. But it's a story, as we know, it's David, and they came to Ziklag. And on the third day, we know the story, the Amalekites, what had happened. They'd invaded, right, attacked, burned it with fire, and he took all the women, captives, they took everything. And then as we go down, as we saw, David was greatly distressed. I'm just quickly going through this, verse 6. And then he inquired of the Lord, verse 8, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And then we know the story how David went and took the 600. But what I want to focus on is this though. When David overtook them, and he was very selective in who he took as we know, I want to say this to the National Board. right now, at this right time, in the right place, God has the right people in the right position to do exactly what David did. I believe with all of my heart, and Don has already said this as well. You know, I tell you, we need some of this. This stuff needs to go out to all the chaplains, Grant. This stuff, I tell you, because I believe what the Word is saying here, and I sense this even before I came over, but it's been confirmed to me, that David just didn't attack them. And it says, verse 17, he attacked them from twilight until the evening to the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. But what I believe is also in the scripture, what it says, he just didn't recover all, he recovered more than what they took. And this is the word for the fellowship. Not only will we overtake the enemy, we are going to take back everything that he has stolen from us and more. And more. Yeah, at least I got two people that's going to agree with me. Right? Seriously, man, FGB men, you need to get a revelation of this stuff. You know, because too many times I hear, you know, the devil gets a lot of credence in a lot of places. Thankfully, not so much in FGB circles. But I tell you what, the time has come that we got to rise up. We got to go pursue the enemy, and we got to take him out big time, right? So that he'd never raise his ugly head again. I better be careful, I'll start preaching here, right? But I tell you something, we got to get a revelation. That's what we're called to do. For those of you, and this is what the Lord showed me very clearly, FGB men, for those of you who, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but this is for a reason. For those of you, no, don't worry about it, standing up. There's a lot of FGB men here, 70 years or more of age, that have been around for a long time. I want to tell you, now is your time. Actually, stand up, brother, where you are right there. That brother right there. Stand up, yeah. Now is the time that you are going to seek everything that's been lost to you, this fellowship, your family, is not just going to be recovered, that you're going to recover that and more. I'm prophesying right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and he's going to lead the recovery. Oh, sorry. I thought he was going to land on the chair. In actual fact, all those men over 70, stand up, please. In the fellowship. We might not get the message today again. Men, I want you to put your eyes on Jesus right now. Not on me. I'm only the speaker. I'm only the messenger. I want you to keep your focus on Jesus right now. I want some other men to stand behind these men. Quickly, men. Please. Stand behind these men. Because right now there's going to be an impartation. I'm prophesying this right now. There's going to be an impartation of power into these men. I know some of them might be thinking, Rod, you got no idea what my situation is right now. I don't need to know your situation right now. The Holy Spirit knows your situation right now. I don't need to know about your physical infirmity right now. The Holy Spirit knows that if you have one. I don't need to know your financial situation right now, but I'm telling you, you guys are a rear guard action. You guys are going to summon, you are going to bring in this part of, be part of this revival and this fellowship and this nation. Because you are going to train and equip. Remember the word. Don't ever forget it. Train and equip. I didn't say teach. I didn't say preach. I said train and equip. You are going to train and equip the next generation that are going to go, because with due respect to you guys, some of you might not get about to get on a camel. You're getting my point. You might not better run too fast. But I tell you something, you're going to train guys that are going to run like the wind. You're going to train and equip guys that are giant killers. You're going to train and equip guys that are going to go forth in such power and dimension, that they are going to demolish everything in their sight. They're going to run through brick walls. They're going to do all this sort of stuff. In the name of Jesus. Fire them up, Lord. Light the fire. Some of them, Lord, has got too dull. Light the fire. 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 Thank you, Lord. I can't get to some of those guys. Brother. Lay your hands on him. Lay your hands on that brother there. In the name of Jesus, I just prophesy and speak into right now. Father God, thank you. There it is right there. There's the anointing right there on that man right there. Lay your hands on him. Pray for him, brother. In the name of Jesus, light his fire. Light his fire. Light his fire. Light his fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Over there, do the same to those men, please. Anybody stand next to those men, just lay your hands on. Light the fire. Light the fire. Light the fire. It doesn't mean you need to pray for them. It's the Holy Ghost that's imparting right now. Don't need me. Every one of them, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Fire of God. 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 Light the fire. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fire of God, fire, 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 fire. More, 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 more. Oh, one more. Oh, be quick, man. We need some catches to be ready, please. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those men are going to be the ones that are going to train and equip the young ones. They've had something deposited in their life. I'm not going to touch him, he'll fall out. Thank you, Lord. Let me share something with you very quickly. I'm one of those sort of people. I love to be able to teach and train and equip people, but, you know, it's all about impartation, really. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me, I just have to get a drink. How's your day? Is your day good now? It was good before, it's better now, it should be. I want to talk for the next maybe 20 minutes on Marketplace Ministries. I promised Graham I'd do it. What do you mean? Man of faith. Have faith, Graham. But you know, let me share this with you. If we want to be men and women of influence, if we want to influence the world, how do we do that? Look, with due respect to where New Zealand's at right now, as far as spirituality-wise, as far as the church is concerned, do you think we've advanced far in the last 25 years? Because I've got to tell you, in Oz, we've gone backwards. So I would dare to suggest that we've probably actually got it wrong and how we're doing things. In this day and age of emails, of all the electronic gizmos we've got that I don't want to know how to use, right? But in this day and age, we've got all this, and yet we've gone backwards. And yet it's interesting to note, when you go to third world countries that have nothing, no infrastructure, not even roads, let alone email and this stuff, right? The gospel is spreading like wildfire. Have you ever wondered why? And I tell you what other reasons I believe why, is because there's been a lot of missions gone into Africa for the last 140 years. There's been billions of dollars are pumped into it. And we know the church is veneer thin. But I want to tell you something. If you can get in, if you can get into the infrastructure stage, and that's why we're operating a little bit in southern Sudan, I have been for some years, because we are impacting into the nation, because we're impacting at the top end. Because you see, if you can penetrate that, then you control the country. Did you hear what I said, FGB man? You see, you can start to get a revelation of how this works when you start going to Asia. Oh yeah, there's a tsunami wave going through Asia right now. But let me tell you something, right? Those guys have got a pretty good strategy. And when you talk to some of those guys over there, and you know, this is a God-given strategy they've got, and I believe the same thing applies here, just we've got to maybe do it a little bit differently. In Australia, we're doing the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which is a God-given strategy to be able to influence at the top end, right? And I don't have no problem at the bottom end, but I tell you what, man, you can't influence much from the bottom. If you think you can change a nation from the bottom up, then you're better than what I am, or better than what he is, in my opinion. Because let's be honest, it don't work. And we need to minister at all levels. But we are FGBMFI. And somewhere in there is businessmen. Would that be correct? For those who's been around a while. And let me say this to you, with due respect. We ain't changing the name, not in Australia anyhow. Because as soon as we change the name, you know what's going to happen? The anointing goes off the vision of the fellowship. Do you hear what I said? Now, ladies, you've got to bear with me. You've got to bear with me on this, ladies. But let me be honest too. You ladies, you are ladies of the fellowship. You hear what I said? Ladies of the fellowship. You're with the men. You're in this thing, boots and all. Whether you want to be or not, you're there, eh? My wife's as much of this fellowship as what I am. As a matter of fact, she puts up with more than what I do because she hears all the whinges and the carries on, okay? So she's more of the fellowship than I am. You know? She hears the negatives and the positives. You know? Probably in the men, none of you hear the positive. So I want to say this to you, that we got an awesome job to do. We've got a big job to do. But if we're going to overtake, if we're going to, well, first of all, pursue, then overtake, and then take back what the enemy's stolen, I tell you what, we've got to be in a position to be able to do that. I love this Don when he shares about his bank manager. I'll tell you something right now. I'll prophesy right now, and Don's not here, and I've got to email this to him. But that bank manager, before too long, is going to be in the kingdom of God. But I tell you something, if that church ever wants a loan, they're going to get it just like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Because that guy, you know what? He looks at Don, and he's a real guy. He probably thinks, man, he's a little bit different, which we all know he is, and we love him dearly, and thank God he is different. Don't look at me. I know what you're saying the same about me. I know, right? But I tell you something. That bank manager knows he's got God on his side. He knows God's his partner. Now, okay, he's got to do all the things that the banks have to do and all that sort of stuff. But I tell you what, he's going to get preferential treatment. Let's be real here. Better get on my message. I've got the page open. All right. Apostles in the marketplace. Men, let me tell you something that you need to know and we need to be reminded regularly. I want to give these notes to Graham. If they board circulate them, fine. I think they should, but if they want to just use it, they can do it. We're a marketplace ministry here to extend the kingdom of God both here on earth and in heaven. We need a revelation that we're to extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. And I heard it preached so many times in the pulpit about the kingdom of God, you know, up there, but I've never ever heard it talk or preached about the kingdom of God here on earth. If it's in, it's in contradiction to what I'm about to say. Because to me, the kingdom of God here is what? Is what? Everything out there. And the people. Now, if you want to influence a nation, you've got to influence the people. To influence the nation, you've got to have control of the finances. Now, we all know, as Christians, what the story is, where it's all going to end. But in the meantime, we've got a lot to do. And you know one thing that saddens me is that every time that we walk in and we want to get a loan from the bank, you've got to beg and grovel and whatever to get the loan. That's a lot of rubbish. It shouldn't happen. And that's why our dear... Oh, no, I better be careful. Okay. But that's why the Islamic bank will lend at no interest, right? But I tell you, once they got you, they got you. So we better be careful and get a balance in this thing. But I believe, every top business in the world should be owned and run and operated by Christians, born again, spirit-filled, sold out to Jesus Christ. Yes. And I tell you what, in Oz, you're struggling to find a business operated and run by a Christian. Now, I tell you, we got it wrong somewhere. We want to preach about the head and not the tail and all that sort of stuff, but how are you going to do that? We don't own nothing. Most Christians I know can't even pay their bills. Come on, let's be real. Am I with real people today? Now something's not right. Now either the book got it wrong and it didn't get it wrong, or we got it wrong and we misread it, or we just got it wrong. Now you better be careful here. I got to be careful. I'm not talking about prosperity message, but I tell you something. That might have got a bit blown out of proportion, but it was spot on. Oh, you better believe it. Because I've learnt one thing in business. You put him first, and you'll never want for anything in your life. And that's a pretty simple statement, isn't it? But I'm a pretty simple person. So I think I can make simple statements like that. Of course, you have to do the hard yards and all the things you have to do in business. Ask Graham, anybody in business. You have to do these things. But I tell you, it's a guaranteed promise, as I said the other day. We're on the winning team. We're on the winning side. How can you go wrong when you're guaranteed that you can't lose? Yeah. You see, that's why I better. I may not use all the notes. Okay? Some I will. Right? But you know, that's why I can't never understand Christians with their mentality in tithing. I can't understand Christians with their mentality to giving to FGB, to sowing into a ministry. I can't understand why I have a problem with it. I'm a businessman. I'm a financial planner. Where's my other financial planning friend? Is he here? Where is he? Mike, is he? Yeah. You know, we go out and sell investments, manage funds, whatever it is. You know, we're talking returns in Australia, 8 or 9, 10%, and people think it's good. Here we're talking about a return of 90% on your money, and everyone's whinging. Come on, let's get real here. 90%, where can you get a return like that? Let me know if you can get a better than 90%, somebody. Or is that better in New Zealand, mate? Can you get better than 90% here? Huh? Safer. Ah, well, that's even better, isn't it? But you hear what I'm saying? And we've got a problem giving 10%. What is 10%? I can't understand it myself. Maybe I missed it somewhere. I don't know. Now, let me ask you, or let me share a couple of thoughts with you. Believers live in the marketplace but visit their church. God has ordained certain apostles to minister in the workplace. Let me say this to you. Right now, and this may shock some people here, you may not agree with it in your theology or your doctrine, but don't argue with me because I don't argue about theology or doctrine. Won't argue about it. But right now, around the world, God is raising apostles in the marketplace. Oh, yeah. But, this is the but. There's not the normal type apostles as a past. They're a new breed of apostles. These people are relatively unknown. No one has heard of them. No one knows their name. They're not big noting. They don't have big Lear jets to fly around the country. None of that sort of stuff, right? Mind you, I'm just jealous because I don't have one, right? I'm believing for one, aren't we, Lorna? Well, I am. Yeah. Yeah. But I want to say, let me define apostle. I'm talking to a room full of apostles. Apostle is a Christian leader who is gifted, taught, commissioned, and sent by God with the authority to establish the foundational government of the church. Yeah, I got one person agreeing with me. That's good. Better than none. Let me repeat it. Apostle is a Christian leader who is gifted, taught, commissioned, and sent by God with the authority to establish the foundational government of the church. How? He does this within the assigned sphere of ministry by hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches and by setting things in order according for the growth and maturity of the church. Is this deep? That's not deep, is it? Think about it. What we're saying here. It's right now in this room. I'm talking to apostles. You are exactly where God wants you to be. You better believe it. Nothing happens by accident or chance. Let me share a few things with you what I believe these apostles will do. See, we all know the word apostle, and we, you know, from, can I say the old days? You understand where I'm coming from, the old days? The apostle, you know, from a scriptural point of view, and this is scriptural, by the way, so I'm not doing a heresy here, right? But I'd say the apostle was the one that went up and did this in the church and did that in the church and was sent out and all that, and that all happens. In actual fact, let me share something with you. When I have a revelation of this stuff, all of a sudden, I had some unanswered questions. I sort of couldn't quite understand in some ways where we'd go into these countries and it wouldn't matter where we were preaching in a church, it wouldn't matter whether we were doing an FGB meeting or whatever, but we would go in there and prophesy and speak things into being in that church, in the business arena, doing SWAT in business, whatever, and you know, there's growth and maturity and finance and all these things were happening. And all of a sudden, I'm flying back 1 year ago, or no, maybe a couple of years ago, and I'm praying about this stuff. And I want to talk to the National Board again. Let me say this to you, National Board. We need to get a revelation that this fellowship, this organisation, is an apostolic movement. Okay? We need to get a new revelation of this. I tell you, if we get a revelation that we're an apostolic movement, it will change your dimension, it'll change your thinking. Am I right, Colin? You got it? You know. For too many years, you know, I tell you what's happened. I tell you what's happened with FGB. We got shut down. We got robbed. The devil came under from right under our nose and nicked it, mate. He's an Aussie saying now. Better take that out. But you know what he's done? He's come in because what we've done, we found ourselves being contained, right, into a religious group. Ah! I know I shouldn't be saying these things. Heresy in an FGB meeting, but it's the truth. Same in Australia, same around the world, let me tell you. Because, you know, we started to forget what our roots were. Our roots are we're an apostolic movement. We are sent by God. We are ordained by God. I'm going to get excited in a minute. We're ordained by God to go where? Into the marketplace. To what? To take the marketplace, to use anything we need to, whether it be by force, by persuasion, whatever. I don't care, really. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, my Bible says, you know, we're allowed to get excited. We're allowed to take things by force. In actual fact, we're told you're going to have to do that anyhow. And if anybody thinks you're going to sit back and be mandy-pandy, whether you may read the wrong book. It's the truth. I speak to a lot of mandy-pandy Christians. And we think we're just going to sit back and pray. It's all just going to, hey, $1 million is going to drop in my lap. Well, good luck. You're going to be waiting a long time. No? Is that true, Graham? Yep. I don't have a problem with getting $1 million. I don't have a problem with getting $10 million. As a matter of fact, I'm stupid enough to believe, right, in New Zealand right now, that there are men in this room that they're going to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars for the work of the fellowship. Now, you can say, Rod, you got rocks in your head. But I tell you what, it's the truth. Because there are men and women sitting in this room right now that you haven't even discovered who your identity is in Jesus Christ. You haven't even identified yet where you are on this walk. You haven't even identified yet where you're supposed to be. But I want to tell you, once you discover who you are in Jesus Christ, your life will be totally changed and revolutionized, and it'll even blow your mind. And a lot of people need to start to get a revelation of this stuff. The trouble is we're all sitting back playing our little religious games. Huh? And we're all in this little comfort zone. Oh man, it's nice to be back here. It is. It's good. Nice to do nice meetings. But guess what? Don't get nothing done. That's what I found. It doesn't do anything. Maybe I'm just speaking about Australia now, Graham. You know, I'm sorry. Okay. Better get off that subject before I upset somebody. New South Wales. What will modern-day apostles do? Let me share some revolutionary stuff with some people here. You see, I have a lot of people come to me, especially when I start sharing this stuff in the prayer time afterwards, and say, well, that's all right for you, Brother Rob, but you don't know my situation. You know what I say? And you don't know mine. Oh, Brother Rod, you don't know my circumstances. Guess what? You don't know mine. But I know one thing for sure. Every time the enemy takes a swipe at me, I have one thing I tell him. Mate, it's going to cost you big time. Big, big time. And I think it's about time some of us who have got a bit mandy-pandy, right, we got to tell the enemy, mate, this is going to cost you. And the thing that I found, the best way to get the devil off your case is to give him a hard time. Because then he'll go and find somebody else. And I'm talking marketplace now. You see, if you want to sit around and whinge about how tough things are, how bad the economy is, about the global recession, well, good luck to you. You're probably going to tough it out worse than most people. But I like this guy's attitude, you know. You know, I love hanging out with positive people, and you ask them, you know, but you've got to be careful too, because salesmen will tell you anything. With due respect. Better clarify that, hadn't I, brother? But you know what I mean? You ask him, how's your day? Oh, it's wonderful. How's the business? Oh, it's wonderful. And he can't even pay his bills. We've got to get real. But I tell you what, we've got to, you know, I don't know about anybody else. A few years ago, I got sick of being defensive. You know, in the AFL, if you know anything about football, you'll know the team that goes defensive loses the game every time. They say, what we're going to do with this other team, we're going to shut them down. I don't know how that works in, you know, NRL or whatever the other game you guys play over here. But I know once you go defensive, you've lost it. You have lost it totally. And with too many of us, especially in business, we go defensive.
Oh, we start cutting corners, we start cutting the bottom line, we do this, we do that, everything else, right? And all of a sudden we've got less money, less money, less money. The time we realise we've made a mistake, it's too late. I do not believe, now I better be careful here, but I do not believe that if you are a Christian, a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and God has called you into the marketplace, I do not believe that you should be struggling to pay your bills. I'm sorry, I do not believe that, because that is not what this word says. We'll have trials and tribulations, but I tell you what, it's very clear what it says. Now, you may be careful, we've got to be careful how we define the success. But to me, that is just only it's not even being successful to do that. But when you start talking marketplace ministries, you know, people start giving you all excuses why they can't be successful. I'm a bit like Dom with that. I don't like people start giving me excuses. Don't give me an excuse why you can't be successful. Just go and do it. Is that true?
Yep.
At least I got two, three people that time. Modern day workplace apostles will. I never got to this point, did I? Perform signs and wonders. Exhibit authority. Break bondages. Transfer wealth. Hear the voice of God. Function as biblical entrepreneurs and reach nations. Let me tell you something I believe with all my heart, is there is going to be a mass transference of wealth in these latter days from the ungodly to the godly. Hey, if you haven't got a revelation, who's the godly? Us. Hey. And I hear a lot of people talk, you think they're on the other team or something. We're on the winning team. And I want to tell you, Graham will tell you this, as you're traveling the world today, it is so evident, especially in third world countries. I tell you, I'm dealing now with pastors, right, that are multi-millionaires in Africa. Isn't that unreal? In third world countries. And when you sit down and talk to them, guess what they tell you? They've discovered this stuff. They've discovered that they're the head, not the tail. They've discovered that God has put them into marketplace ministry. They've discovered that God's got an anointing upon their life to do what? To get in there and take back what the enemy has stolen. And I want to tell you something. When you start smacking the devil around, he don't like that at all. You better believe, am I right, Colin? He don't like it. And he's going to throw a few things your way. But I tell you something, this is where it's important that especially as apostles in the marketplace, we've got to have good people around about us. We've got to have good people in front of us, good people behind us, good people to the side, this side, that side. We've got to have a good chapter. We've got to have a good national. And you know, an FGB, praise God, guess what? We have got the rear guard, the defensive. We've got everything around about us. I look in this room. Quality. That's all I see. I look across this place. It's Graham. It's quality. Quality. I don't look at numbers. I look at the quality. And I work with organisations in the mission field that are prepared. They sign a document. When you go into the Southern Sudan with these guys, they have signed a document. Not me, by the way. I'm saying that point. It's them. They have signed a document to say they are prepared to lay their life down for that ministry. And some of them do. That's the sort of guys I want to hang out with. We don't have to do it in a literal sense in this nation, but spiritually, we've got to hang out with guys that are prepared to say, Graham, I'm with you 100% in, out, all around. I stand with you. And if we go down, when we ain't going to go down, we go down together. And when I read my Bible, that's very scriptural. Those men of God had people all around about them. And some of them, Armabaris was one. But I'm talking about mentors. I'm talking about spiritual mentors. And those 70-year-olds, let me just get to those 70-year-olds where they are in a minute. The point I forgot there, very important for those men we prayed for. As a spiritual mentor for those younger guys, right? Very important, you men. You need no less than 6 young men you are mentoring. Let me encourage you in that. You want to be mentoring 6 men and have 6 men mentoring you. No less than that. And I tell you, if those guys are stood up, I tell you right now, if those guys are stood up, I don't know how many there was, but if you mentored 6 men, I tell you what, this nation would change tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm telling you. That's only 6 each of the men that stood up. And then the men that are mentoring you. And the next generation that are mentoring the next generation. And see, with 30 or 40 people, I know, I hear what the brother said this morning when he talked about the disciples, and I agree totally what he said. But I tell you something. If I had 30 or 40 men of the caliber what I see in this room that are full on for Jesus, that are prepared to lay it down, that are prepared to go into the marketplace and take back the things stolen, this nation would be changed just like that. That's with 30 or 40. Imagine, Graham, if we had a couple of hundred. Powerful stuff. And today I'm going to pray and release some of those men, because we've got some young men in here that God has called them into the marketplace. They just don't know it yet. Modern day workplace apostles will perform signs and wonders. I talked a little bit about that before, but I believe with all my heart exactly what Don was saying before. Why is he so successful as an evangelist? Apart from the fact that he's the real deal. Signs and wonders, works in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wherever he goes. You know, he's like, I don't like to use the term alien, but it's like one of those little rope. You know, they got the radar up going, zzz. I can imagine him like that, actually, in that airport with Pink. I mean, he didn't know it was Pink, but, you know, his radar's always working. Zzz, and he zeroes in. We've got to start to zero in. We should have an inbuilt radar in us. And when we see a young man that's got an anointing upon his life that God has called into the marketplace, we zero in. Perform signs of one. Exhibit authority. The thing I learnt very quickly in my business is this, because you heard the other day my testimony. Didn't know anybody, broke, no money. I didn't know what I was doing. But I found out very quick, you've got to have authority. You've got to walk into a place and take that authority. You've got to walk into a business deal and take that authority. We've had some phenomenal cases where, you know, we've gone in and in the natural, there's no way we could get insurance for people. There's no way we could do a deal. There's no way we could do this. But I just walked in and said, in the name of Jesus, I lay hands on this document and I claim this in Jesus' name. Now, I tell you what, there's some Pentecostals even, you tell them this stuff, they think you're nuts. It's true. Yeah, it's true. You know, because if somebody, this guy would know. I remember a guy, how much time? I better watch this time. We had a guy that we used as a speaker once. I was a young Christian. I don't know if Lorna, you were at that meeting. I can't remember the guy's name. He was from Europe somewhere. And he actually pioneered the microfish industry. This is going back a long time ago. He pioneered that industry in Australia, the microfish. And he was sharing with us one night that he went in and he had this machine that he bought in from Europe. He'd bought it quite cheaply. It was an old machine. But and it stopped working. And what this guy did is it wouldn't work. He couldn't get anybody out from Germany to fix the machine up, and it was so old anyhow. But he went in there after hours. I know you've heard some of these stories before, but I know this one personally, and he laid hands on this machine and commanded it to work. And it started working. It started working. And he used to do that all the time. And I knew another friend of mine, Peter Lynch. He's now with the Lord. I've known Peter for many, many years. And Peter was an electrical contractor. And Peter was that sort of guy. You talk about authority. This guy knew the authority of Jesus. And in the marketplace, in the time when he was working, and I can say this now, but in that time, the unions were very radical in Australia. Very radical. And to get on a building site, you had to be a member. And all your team had to be a member. I don't know what it's like here. So this day, his men were never members. And this day, the head of the union rings him up, because this guy was causing the union some problems. Because every time the union reps would go on site, none of his guys were union members. And here's Peter. No way. So this guy rings him up. He says, "Is that Mr. Lynch?" And Peter says, "Yes." He said, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so," whatever his name was now. He said, and Peter recognized who he was. He said to him, "Mr. Lynch, I'm just letting you know that because you are constantly refusing to allow your members to become members of this organization, that we are going to shut you down." You know what Peter said to him? Remember, this was in the heyday of the union movement in Australia. Man, they were tough guys. Huh? He said, "Oh, you can try." And the guy said, "Mr. Lynch, I don't think you heard what I just said." He said, "I heard what you said." He said, "We're going to shut you down." And there, it was a big organization, employed a lot of people. And Peter said, "Try it." And he hung up on him. Boom! The guy rang him straight back. He said, "We must have been disconnected." Peter said, "No, I hung up on you." He said, "Did you not hear what I said?" And this guy said, Peter said, "Yeah, I heard you." He said, "Well, that's it," he said. "Obviously, we can't talk to you. You're just, you're not listening to reason. I'm going to shut you down." You know what Peter Lynch said? I'll never forget it. "Try it and you're dead." Yeah. Boom! He said, "We never had another phone call. We never harassed. We never on a work site ever again after that." Now, I tell you something. Peter Lynch was a man that knew his authority. And he believed with all his heart, this guy tried to shut him down, he was going to have a major problem. Now, I'm not suggesting that we take those sort of phone calls that way. I don't think I will try that. Not when a client says something that I don't agree with. But I'm using that point because Peter was a man that knew his authority, and I have learned. I sat with Peter, I was very good friends with Peter, and one thing I've learned about this fellowship is that we've got some great teaching, we've got great leadership. These are men and women that know the authority in Jesus Christ. And I believe if we're going to take the marketplace, we need to know our authority in Jesus Christ. And for too long, I believe we've sat back as full gospel businessmen and we have allowed the market to dictate to us. And it's about time we started to overtake the enemy and say, enough is enough. We're going to take back everything that you've stolen and it's going to cost you even more than that. See, we preach this stuff, but do we actually believe it? Preaching is one thing, believing is another thing. I'll probably get to the next point and that's about it. I'm going to start praying for some people. Perform signs and wonders. Let me share something with you. In the latter days, ordinary men like you and I will do extraordinary things and operate in supernatural power. And if you don't believe me, read what Demas wrote. What did Demas say? For those of it who knew Demas, I tell you what, very clearly, he saw all this. I think he saw this coming. He knew it was going to happen. But he prophesied this, that the day would come, then we would move in as a group and we would start to do these things. As far as moving in signs and wonders, moving in power. Demas was a man that moved in power. Oh, moved in the love of Jesus. No doubt about that, the love of the Father. But he was a man that moved in the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't believe it, if you ever got near the guy, he radiated the love of Jesus. But he also radiated the love and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, if he put his hand up, you didn't go much further because you went backwards 6 feet. Dead set, saw it myself. That's power. Holy Ghost power. And I believe that same power we can transfer into the marketplace. It's not just for these meetings. Hear that? It's not just for these meetings. It's wonderful that we have all these things happening. But you know what? We've got to see it in the marketplace. We've got to see it in the hospitals. One thing that saddens me, and I might share about this a little bit tonight, is the amount of sickness and disease in the body of Christ. And we heard Don share so many testimonies, and I've done it myself when I've walked into a client's house, and here they are weeping because their daughter's on drugs and they've tried to take their own life and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn to, right? And you just say, as a Christian, as a believer, as a full gospel businessman, would you like me to pray for you? And I tell you what, in that situation, mum and dad are going to say, you can pray for me and you can pray for my kid, because right now we don't know what to do. And when you pray, and I tell you, something happens in the supernatural, and it may not be immediately, it may be a few weeks or a few months, when that kid gets off the drugs, when that kid comes home after living on the streets for 6 months, I tell you what, mum and dad start to believe that, yes, there is a God. And they start to believe when you talk to them about FGB and MFI, and they say, who are you guys? What do you do? And we just say, we are men and women, and we believe that God is alive today. And we've got to get back to that sort of stuff. We've got to get back to it and stop worrying about people saying, well, I don't know what they're going to think about that. I'm going to get excited in a minute. I can sense it. But I tell you something, for too long, we've been dictated to by people that are telling us because we don't want to upset them. I want to tell you something, men and women of this fellowship, get ready. You're going to upset a lot of people, because if you're going to start moving in power and authority, you're going to upset people. And I tell you what, some of them you might think they're your friends today. They won't be tomorrow when you start moving in power and authority. That's the truth. It's not fair, but it's the truth. But you know what? As Don said, and I've been through the rejection. I've been through the hurts. I've been whacked, but I've got up, and I've been whacked again, and I've got up again. But I know one thing, because I'm on a winning team. I've got to the point in my life at 58 years of age, I don't really care anymore what they think. True. I'm upset. I don't want them not to like me, but I tell you what, it's not about feelings anymore. Because I've had nights where I've gone to bed and I've wept. Lorna knows I've wept because there has been a client of mine or there's been a friend of mine, you know, a secular friend, where I haven't shared with them about Jesus. I haven't done what I should have done, and they've died and gone to hell. And I know I've got to stand before God on that judgment day, and He's going to say, "What happened, Rod? I gave you the opportunity. What did you do?" I can give every excuse in the world, and I believe the Lord's going to say, "That is no excuse." And He ain't going to give me a smack over the head or nothing, but He's going to tell me, "Right, I'm pretty disappointed in you. I know that. Yeah, but Lord, I did this, and Lord, I did that. Yeah, but Rod, did you do that?" You see? It's a Father God, but as a parent, we know now and again, we need to be told we didn't get it quite right. Is that true? It's true. And I tell you something else. If you start moving in the signs and wonders ministry in the marketplace, if you start performing miracles, you are going to be, you know, the people are going to talk about you. You better believe it. They're going to call you a religious nut. They're going to say you lost the plot. They're going to say all things about you, especially not, but not to your face, of course. But I tell you something. I want to tell you one quick story, then I might come to a close. But I want to say this. I remember I'd set up when I first started an AMP. And I tell you, back in those days, we didn't have prayer meetings in those sort of places. Am I right? Ask my friend over here. And we had this meeting going. And God had been very gracious to me, and we'd led a lot of them to the Lord. These insurance men. Wonderful men. Oh, they had a lot of problems. Don't we all? And we had this one guy. He used to hound me all the time. He hated me. I'm sure he hated me. I would walk into the room, he'd say, "Guys, careful, careful, the preacher man's here." And I hadn't said too much to him. He just knew I was a Christian. He knew I was running the prayer meeting. He saw the change in these guys, and he wasn't happy with me. Because part of his mandate was this. Every time he'd get a group of young guys coming through, he would deliberately go out of his way to corrupt them. He would groom them, and he'd take them down the pub on a Friday, you see, after they knock off work. And after a few weeks, he'd say, "Guys, why don't we just go to the strip club this time? You know, because it's a nice lunch there and all that sort of stuff, you know." And this is what he would do. So their wives would ring up for these young men, and where are they? Instead of being home with their wives and kids, they're down the strip club with this guy. Of course, the secretary never said that. And I thought, man, this is not a good thing. If he wants to run that sort of life, let him do it. But, you know, we just kept praying. We just kept praying. "Lord, change this guy. Change this guy." Shared with him a couple of times. One day, the day came. I saw him walk in the office and I knew something had happened to him. He said, "Can I come and talk to you?" I said, "Sure." He walked in. He said, "The first thing I want to do is apologize to you." He said, "I've made your life a misery since you've been here." I said, "No, you haven't." He said, "But I've picked on you. I've said horrible things about you. I've bad-mouthed you." He said, "I've done all those things." He said, "But I'm desperate. I need help." I said, "Okay, what's the problem?" Now that guy, I better be careful, but that guy was up on a sexual harassment charge. He said he was innocent. I believe he was, actually. But when we were talking about it, and he said, "I don't know what I'll do. I've just been terminated, my agency, instant dismissal, lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. His clients were taken off him. Basically, just be thrown out." He said, "I don't know how to tell my wife. Don't know what to do. I'm desperate." I asked him this question. "Why did you come and tell me?" He said, "Because you're the only one that cares. Nobody else cares. And I know I can trust you." I said, "Let's pray." Never seen him since then. Don't know what happened. Believe he's still with his wife. Praise God for that. But you see, if we're going to be in the marketplace, we're going to upset a lot of people. And I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian in the marketplace, if you're an FGB person in the marketplace, you're going to upset a lot more people. You better believe it. And they're going to be watching you with a magnifying glass to make a weeny mistake. And they're going to try and crucify you. But I tell you something. The one thing I found about in the sales industry, especially in the insurance industry, when you're successful, they don't say too much. And I've had them come to me after months, after years, and say, especially the secretaries, and we used to take bets on how long you'd stay in this business. And, you know, I lost my money because I said you'd be here 6 months and, you know, you're still here. And they're long gone, by the way, a lot of those people. How did you do it? I said, well, I told you from day one, God was on my side. And I'm going to wind up because I want to pray for some people. Next bit, I might just share with one more little story. Exhibit authority. Because I want to talk about the anointing. Because the anointing is what breaks the yoke. The one thing I've learned in 25 years, well, a lot of things, but the thing, very critical point for me, we must be moving in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in our home, whatever it is, we have to be moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, when you start moving into the workplace, when you start moving the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, things happen. Sometimes I even get amazed. I come home to the Lord and say, man, I don't know how that happened. Now, you can say, well, things just happen. No, things just don't happen. The thing I've learned, we've got to be walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How do we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit? We have to be obviously reading the Word and praying and all those sorts of things, but I've learned to press in when I need to. Lord, I need to get this deal through. And I tell you what, there's not one deal. I know every year I sit back and I have to say this, for 24 years of the 25 years of being in business, every year was a record year over the year before. The only year that wasn't was last year when the global crash came. And in actual fact, when I did the figures with the count, we were only just under the year before. And yet, everybody in our industry in Australia lost 70% of their income in the secular world. And it's only by His anointing. I've learned to press in. Part of that was, and I want to finish on this point, men, especially for those of you in business, if you're not running a prayer meeting in your office, start doing it. Monday morning. No, not Monday morning, because I'll be here. Next Tuesday morning or the following Monday. We do it Monday morning in our business. 8 guys come together, and I tell you what, you want to know the power of God, you want to know the peace of God in your office, you want to know, see things go smoothly, you run a prayer meeting. Am I right, Graham? Run a prayer meeting in your office. And Monday morning, specifically Monday morning, because the Lord told me, first fruit, right, I want the first fruit. Because after Monday, and normally Monday's extremely busy after the weekend. Normally the phones are going berserk. Everything's happening on Monday morning in most businesses, I tell you. But my girls, no doubt in my office, do not interrupt me in the prayer meeting. Unless it's an extreme emergency, family situation, whatever, you do not interrupt me in a prayer meeting. God comes first. I don't care who the client is. They can have $1 million, they can have 10 million, 20 million, I don't care. Huh? God is the priority. And if we're going to be working in the marketplace, we're going to be effective in the marketplace, I tell you, we better start to get the priorities right. And for too many years, I want to tell you, see, I had to learn the hard way. See, you know what I've learned very quickly in business? There's two ways you can do it. You either do it the hard way or the easier way. I didn't say the easy way because there's no easy way. Huh? The easier way. What the easier way is, you put God first. You do the first fruits. You do all those things which we know we need to do. But I tell you one thing I've learned. It's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than your own. Let me repeat that for you guys in business. It's better to learn by somebody else's mistakes than your own. And I learned that a long time ago. Because when you do a mistake, it costs you money. Lots of it. Am I right, Graham? Lots of it. So you're better off to learn from somebody else's mistakes. Hey, you don't want that to happen to anybody, but if it does, learn from that one. That way it won't cost you any money. And the more mistakes you learn from other people, the more money you'll have. But I believe if you're moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the power and the anointing, the Holy Spirit shows us these things. And men, I will finish on this point because I want to pray for people. That's what it's about to me, is listen to your wives. All the women should have said amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you what has cost me the most money. You got a message from God. Okay.
I'm 70-year-old, but I'll do it when you're ready.
Okay. What I believe is this. Women of the fellowship, you're vital to this fellowship. Men, we need to be praying with our wives. We need to be listening to our wives. And I've learned this the hard way, by the way. It hasn't cost me any money up to this point. But when it comes to business decisions, you better believe it. If you don't listen to your wife in regarding to a business deal, it could cost you a lot of money. Let me repeat that. It could cost you a lot of money. The biggest mistakes I've made in business are when I have not listened to my wife in business deals, when she says, don't even touch it. Don't go near it. Don't talk, don't have affiliation with that person. Certainly don't go into business with that person. And on that point, do not ever, 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 in my opinion, go into business with a secular person. Now, you can come back to me after that and you can discuss it with me and tell me I'm wrong and you can give me all the right reasons why you can. But I'm telling you, I counsel a lot of businessmen in Australia. And you know what? Most of them, when they are involved with secular people, lose a lot of money and a lot of other things. We've got to be careful when we go against Scripture. Now, there may be isolated cases, and you all guys have to test that. But I'm telling you, that's the thing I've learned. So in finishing up, marketplace ministries, let me share this, and I'm going to ask this brother to share this word. Who are we, FGMFI? We're a marketplace ministry here to extend the kingdom of God, both here on earth and in heaven. The kingdom of God is to be found where the individuals will proclaim Jesus is King. I believe in this room, we are ambassadors of the Most High God. God has strategically placed us in the marketplace for such a time as this. And ladies, I again apologize because I know I have focused on FGBFI, but I need to bring this message. God laid this on my message, on my heart months ago. Graham knows that. So ladies, you need to bear with me, please. But FGBFI, the good news is, now is the time. Now is our time. Can I just wait for that word to the Lord? I want to pray first. Now is our time. Let's all stand on our feet. My time is up. I want to pray. Shikara basako shikoro basako kokopa. Sakora basako kokosako. Father, I want to thank you for each person here, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord God, that they've listened intently to what you've said. And I believe it's what you've said, Lord. It's not what I've said. I want to specifically thank you again, Lord, for the ladies to just bearing with me, Lord. But they're ladies of the fellowship, so I'm sure they appreciate and understand I needed to bring this message because I'm here as a messenger. But Father, I sense, and I have all day, that FGB is strategically placed right now, right time, right place, to impact this nation. And right now in this room, Lord God, as the Holy Spirit is moving, you are touching people. You are touching people. And Father, for those of us who are in business, Lord God, I believe that you are giving divine revelation. I'm believing, Father, there's going to be explosion in the fellowship, but before that happens, there's going to be explosion in the marketplace. And right now, Father God, I am believing that my brothers and sisters are standing with me. And Father, we are going to claim back everything that the enemy has stolen. Yes. And beyond that, Lord God. And Father God, we are going to run. We are going to run and pursue that enemy. We are going to take it by force if necessary, Lord. And we are going to apply that what we plunder back, Father, to extend the kingdom of God here on heaven and on earth. In heaven and on earth, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. I know right now you're speaking to men and women here, Lord God. And Father, for those in business, Father, I speak increase in Jesus' name. I speak prosperity in Jesus' name. And devil, I tell you, take your hands off that business right now. Those business represented in this place right now, Father, because I know that the enemy has come along and he has plundered. He has plundered, Lord God. And it's cost, Father, the kingdom of God. It has cost full gospel. It has cost full gospel businessmen and full gospel business women. Plenty, Lord God. But today, we take it back in the Spirit, Father God. And Lord God, you said, Father God, you will give it back. And you, Father God, and you would extend it even more than what's been taken, Lord. in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm praying for that group of young men. I know they're in this place right now, Lord God, that, Lord God, you are going to plant visions and dreams. You are going to give them, Father, practical ways to establish businesses. You are going to give them practical ways, Father God, to raise funds for the kingdom of God. And Father, I'm speaking and believing and declaring that this fellowship from today, Len, will never, ever, ever, ever have a problem with finance, Lord. There will be enough to do everything that needs to be done, Father God. They will be able to bring in speakers. They'll be able to run conferences, Father God. We won't have to do offerings, Lord God. We will have more than enough. Because, Father God, we are going to plunder that the enemy has taken. And every dollar, Father, that's been taken, Father, will be duplicated back to us, Lord God. And we will do that. What you've called us to do is to change, Father God, the face of this nation and the face of the nations on this earth, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the full gospel men will rise up, will exhibit signs and wonders, manifestations, prophetic manifestations, Lord God, and will take this, Father, back, that is ours. This is our time. This is our hour. Father, we claim it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we go forward. We go forward because you have called us to be an army. And an army does not retreat. This army does not retreat. This army goes forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I want to pray for those that you know the Holy Spirit spoke to you today. You know that you're one of those two groups. One, that you are in business today. And that you know God has put you in that business to impact the marketplace for this end time. You know that God has put you there to raise funds for the extension of the kingdom of God. I want you to come over here very quickly. I want to talk to that young group of men. I know there's men here and women that God has called you into business. You're not in business yet, but God has given you a vision and a dream. I want you to come over here. And we're going to pray for that group there separately because that's a different thing altogether. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for what you're about to do because you're about to release your power. Yes. You're about to release your, Father, dumas power in these people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, the young men over there, please. And this is for the ladies too, ladies. If your husband's up here, you need to be up here with your husband. Or you need to be here right now because you are part of this business. You are part of that business. Sorry, I should have said that, ladies. See, I got excited there. I forget things when I get excited. For those of you not in business, I'm going to pray for you later if you're in employment for favor in where you work. I'm going to pray for you, but I want to pray for this group first. Just specifically this group first, to those who are in business. Lorna, can you please come up here? I think, Graham, you're already up here, but that's all right. I'll get you to come out in a minute. And I want the board then to come out in a minute after. If the board are up here, I want them to come out afterwards to pray for these guys. For those of you back there, I want you to stretch your hands forward. Well, sure, for those of you at the front, I want you to start just speaking in tongues. I want you to reach out to Jesus right now because He's the one. He's the one that's going to bring the impartation. He's the one that's going to bring the fresh touch. He's the one that's going to bring the revelation. Because you need a revelation. Revelation of finance. Revelation of business. I speak contracts in the name of Jesus. Contracts in the name of Jesus. I need some catches very quickly in a minute. Please get behind these guys. The leader first. Contracts in the name of Jesus. Contracts in the name of Jesus. Finance in the name of Jesus. Finance in the name of Jesus. Finance. Oh, release of finance. A release of finance. A release of finance. A release of finance. Release of finance. Release of finance. Quickly, guys. Quickly. Gushika, a release of finance. Gushika, a release of finance. A release of finance. Gushika, release of finance. Gushika, release the finance in Jesus' name. I release that anointing in the name of Jesus. Release that anointing. Release that anointing. Release that. Release, release. I need the board up here, please. To come and pray for these guys.
Just keep praying in the back. I'm not a business person.
Okay. Just pray for these guys. Yeah. Shaka koko. Shikarapa sako. Kushika. Ushakara. Touch in the name of Jesus. Ushako koko koko. Usha. Ushaka katata saka tata tata tata. Usha tata. Release the finance. Usha. Every need will be met, Father God. With more. Every need will be met, Father. Every finance. Oshika. Oshakaka. Finance. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Osha. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Release the finance. Oshikaka. Oshakaka. Release the finance in Jesus' name. Ushaka ta 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 ta. Ushaka ta 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 ta. Ushaka ta 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 ta. Ushaka ta ta. Shikara ta pa su koko sakara. Shukara ba sakako kosha. What's the baby, huh? Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Release the vision. Release the dream. I flow. Let the finance flow. Flow. Release the finance. Release that finance, Father, in the name of Jesus. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Release the finance in the name of Jesus. Release the finance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Release it, Father. Oh, let it flow. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, let the finance flow. That's a touch. Thank you, Lord. No problems with finance from now.
Oh,
no, you're not. But,
no.
But now, more surplus.
Sure. More. Amen.
Good. Thank you.
We have time.
Yeah, hard word, but I just had to bring it because, like,
you know. Thank you. The prophet said one day, he said, the full gospel of fellowship shall play a major role in the end time revival.
Amen. I believe it. Believe it totally, Lynn.
Yes, because it will be in the marketplace.
Anybody else wants, are we still on? Anybody else wants prayer? We're here to pray. That's why I finished the message early, because we're due to finish at 4. It's now 4:10. Is anybody else for prayer, especially those people that are working and are working? You're an employee, and I want to pray for you guys for favour where you work.
What about the young ones?
And I've done the young ones over here.
You've done the young ones?
Yeah.